There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And text lines open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Keeping our eyes on Washington as well, with Representative John Lewis lying in state in the Capitol. Plus, there in the Capitol, they are, it looks like, close to voting on the CARES Act 2 in the Senate, but we'll talk about that later on this hour. Right now, I want to introduce you all to, first of all, an event coming up in our area, and two of the many folks involved with this that are joining us today, Senior Pastor at Harvest Church, Kevin Cooley, and Barry McLean, lay leader at Church of the Highlands, joining us now to talk about the event, Shrink the Divide. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, honor to be here.
Let's first of all talk about the event. Let's talk about Shrink the Divide. It says a multi-site event for racial reconciliation. Talk to us about the genesis of this and the mission statement.
Well, Shrink the Divide is actually an event that's put together by a group that's called the Pledge Group. And the Pledge Group is a group of leaders in the city who have come together over the events of the past, actually 5 years ago. They came together over some of the situations that were going on in the country, and we felt like it would be good for the leaders in the city to meet together and build relationships to really prevent that kind of situation. It was a racial situation, and Trayvon, you probably know some of those situations that happened.
Sure.
So we felt like the way to prevent that from happening here was to establish relationships with each other that would allow us to connect and really cut that off at the pass. And with the, when you have communication with people who are different, you realize that we're not that different. Right. And God commands us to love each other. So it's through those ideas and initiatives that the group started.
Okay, so the Pledge Group is something that is meeting more than just during this event, Shrink the Divide. Am I correct?
Correct.
We started meeting about 5.5 years ago. It was kind of in the wake of the events in Ferguson. And we said, man, what if that happened in Mobile? I mean, how can we prevent that from happening in Mobile? And so we started building relationships with people that are ethnically different than us, because just like Barry said, that, you know, once you sit down and start having conversations, you realize, wow, you know, our difference is really skin deep. It's not that we're not that right. Different. You know, we believe in one race, the human race, and we're all different shades of the same color. And we, you know, we find our common ground at the foot of the cross. And so our main focus is really to shrink the racial divide in the body of Christ. We felt like, you know, we can start there. Maybe our jurisdiction doesn't, at this time, or our influence doesn't allow us to impact much beyond that. But, man, that's a huge start, especially here in the Deep South.
You know, I'm just right. Because there's the bigger discussion of what's going on nationally, but we're talking about affecting what we can here with bringing different churches together or different people from different churches. Do you see that? Do you see that there are misconceptions that are alleviated? Do you think there are further discussions and hearts are changed? Or what have you seen from this in the past?
Wow, you hit the nail on the head about hearts, because that is the key, the answer to this whole issue in every realm, nationwide, in our city. It's not a social, racism is not a social issue, it's a sin issue. And that will only change when someone's heart changes. The only thing that changes the heart of man is the love of God. And that's the message that we are sharing with people. And anyway, to answer your question, man, we have seen a lot of positive change. And at the same time, this is still a work in process. There are people that are skeptical of us. They're suspicious of us. And they're having a hard time coming to the table. But those of us that have come to the table, we've made a commitment to God and one another that we're going to stay at the table. And man, we've had some tough conversations, and feelings have been hurt and truths have been shared, but we have refused to abandon the relationship because we're family, and it's the blood of Jesus that unites us. And so with that kind of commitment, we have really grown closer to God and one another.
What do you see from, you know, we talk about shrinking the divide and coming together as Christians here. Do you see that divide continuing in actual houses of worship? You know, I've talked about before, I have, where we go to church, I'm pretty racially diverse, multiple races, not just black and white. But, you know, traditionally we have people grouped in churches because of skin color. And I mean, what do you say to that? What do you say to you're shrinking the divide? What about putting people together under the same roofs?
Well, you know, one of the things that we see is that there are so many different combinations of people in churches that it really has to be a one-on-one thing that happens. You know, it's and I think it needs to be intentional. When you think about the Lord's Prayer, where he says, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is what God desires, is that his kingdom would come. And what does his kingdom look like? Well, I believe his kingdom is diversity. It's people from all different groups, all different nations and ethnicities. And so when we begin to realize that's something that's on the heart of God, those who desire to please him will respond to him by saying, Father, I want to see others the way that you see them. You know, through the years, we've seen so many different things. You've got the racial issues. We had the generation gap back in the 70s when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And you had the feminism and all the different divisions that are there. And I believe that God's desire is to tear down walls. You know, the enemy's desire is to build these bricks that keep us divided. But God's desire, and Jesus' prayer was actually that we would be one as he and the Father are one.
Yeah.
And how do you do that other than responding to the heart of God? And when you do, the power of God moves through you. And I think that's where change begins. So we have to have these discussions. We have to have these times where we come together. And it really, in coming together in obedience to what God's mandate is, we begin to build these bridges that allow us to have the kind of relationships that if first it has to change in our homes, and then it changes family to family, church to church, mm-hmm. but then it goes out into the community. And I think that's what we are, the catalyst for change.
Well, let's talk about this. This is coming up tomorrow at 6:30, the Shrink the Divide event. Explain where and when and the social distancing and how to get signed up for this.
Absolutely. It's actually at 6 p.m. and we are meeting in three different locations. You can stream it online from our Shrink the Divide Facebook page, or you can attend in person with social distancing and masks, of course, at three locations. Number one, Mount Hebron Church in Pritchard. Number two, Redemption Church in Saraland. And then number three, Harvest Church right here off the Beltline. And we're all straight up and down I-65, so just whichever one is closer to you. And we've got plenty of room to space out and social distance. And, of course, some of these venues are our live stream venues. We've got LED walls and laser projectors and all that kind of stuff, so it'll feel like you're right there in the room. But, yeah, you can register by going to shrinkthedivide.com, and it's a ticket is required, but it's a free ticket, and we'll digitally email the ticket to you. And I'm excited about this event because of our amazing speakers that have suffered horrendous, horrendous things, but they have somehow found a way to respond in the love of Christ.
Amen.
You remember the terrible racially motivated shootings in the church in South Carolina in Charleston. And so these are three men that experienced that, and they each lost people that they love.
Yeah, Chris Singleton lost his mother. Anthony Thompson lost his wife. And a tragic situation, but their response to God, I guess I have to say with the power of God, was to respond in forgiveness to the shooter. And I can't imagine going through that, but his strength is sufficient in those types of situations. And they forgave the shooter right there in the courtroom.
They demonstrated the gospel.
Yeah, I heard Anthony Thompson talk about it. He said I didn't prepare to do that. He said I was in the moment that I just felt impressed to extend love and to forgive him. And I think in our communities, it all begins. You know, we can all have issues against each other, but if we can find a heart to forgive, you know, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, and I think that when we can move in Christian love, in God's love by the power of His Spirit, and make the choice, because forgiveness is a choice, it's something you have to make the decision that I'm not going to hold this against you.
Mm. Well, this message is
to walk in love.
This message is so important every single day, and in our world right now, needs to be heard. So once again, to get registered online, where do they go?
Shrinkthedivide.com.
All right. Thank you for being in today. Thank you for what y'all are doing. Pastor Cooley and Mr. McLean, thank you. Thanks for your work on this.
And
Shrink the Divide. We'll put the link up on our social media platforms. You can check it out there as well. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And a big thank you to Pastor Kevin Cooley and Barry McLean, lay leader with Church of the Highlands. They are part of the pledge group putting on the Shrink the Divide event coming up tomorrow. And we'll put those reminders up on our social media platforms. You can grab more info there and grab some calls as well at 343-0106. 343-0106 as ceremony is going on right now at the Capitol for John Lewis. Representative John Lewis lying in state at the Capitol. They have this event, I think, going on right now with just members of Congress, and then the open to the public, I think, starting this afternoon and evening. And of course, we talked about what went on in Troy and Selma and Montgomery here at home in Alabama, then on to Washington, and then back to Georgia by the end of the week for the burial of John Lewis. All right, from the text line here, let's see here. Okay, this texture says, we'd like to hear you guys discuss the fact that we are paying these people unemployment, giving them the ability to go out and riot, cut off the additional federal unemployment. Maybe people would have to go back to work. All right. So, you know, here's it's being framed right now that the Republicans in the Senate are saying no to any kind of unemployment federal assistance. It really boils down to an argument now of 70%. And that's what, you know, that's what they're being pilloried with right now, that they don't care because it's going to be 70%. If you look at the money, right, if you what would be wrong other than what Nancy Pelosi says? It's wrong because there's just no way to institute it, so you might as well just go you do the full 600. But they're saying doing 70% of somebody's salary, right? 70% of their salary before they or their hourly wages before they were fired versus the $600. Because remember, folks, you're getting that money from the state as well, their unemployment, and then from the feds, and it is. It's a disincentive to go back to work. Now, if you have exceptions in there for people that, you know, if somebody has a pre-existing condition that is medically proven and they're going back to a job that could put them in harm's way, well, maybe there's a different discussion there. But that doesn't apply to everybody who has not gone back to work. Also, Scotty here. Scotty says, if tort reform... Now, I see what you're saying. Scotty said, if tort reform is so important... why not general tort reform? Scotty, do you think they're going to get general tort reform done right now? I mean, I might agree with you in principle and idealistically, but do you think they're going to get that done right now? It's a big stretch. Sorry, having trouble reading text coming in here and talking at the same time. Let's see here.
Let's see, and I'll try to pick up on some of these also, some of these texts.
Yeah, if you can look at these, because it's coming in so fast.
Yeah, I know, and Dan, who loved the texts from Dan, and right now, and I think most of the time, not all the time, but I am getting my conspiracy theory news from Dan, and he mentioned something that I wanted to look into this weekend. I haven't had a whole lot of time to read into it, but then again, maybe that's exactly what the government wants. But I've seen a lot of talk here recently about the UFOs, and remember a few months ago, I think even before coronavirus really, you know, became the news story, we were talking about some of those Air Force videos from the past where they had I guess they continue to call them UFOs, or they have some new fancy...
No, right, and the president, president talked about it too, right? He said he's seen some things not made on this planet, or, and I'm paraphrasing that.
Yeah, and I guess the Pentagon, their UFO unit, which I'm not sure if they've ever, until this day, confirmed that they have actual units in some of these different departments that are specifically geared towards the unidentifiable objects, but the Pentagon unit is now going to make some of their findings public. And well, for the conspiracy theorists out there, it's been pretty easy. It's been like shooting fish in a barrel here recently with the coronavirus and all the conspiracy theories surrounding that, but also this UFO news that continues to trickle out. I have no idea. I've always been those aren't alien UFOs kind of guy, but if you've actually got the Pentagon and some of our military leaders saying, listen, yeah, there's stuff out there and we're not sure what it is. So Dan on the text line kind of keeping us updated with some of the UFO findings here.
Yeah, the people are going to say this right now because it's 2020, so might as well pile on, right? They'll say, listen, if we're going to ever release this now, because there's all these other stories going on and it'll be, people will go right past it. You know, it's the way they do like a news dump on a Friday, you know, where they put stuff out. Hopefully people will forget about that between Friday and Monday. This is essentially a news dump Friday, 2020, the entire year.
Yeah, pretty much any day that you have something, if you drop it, it's going to be, that story will be erased maybe within the next hour, but definitely within the next 24 hours.
Although maybe the UFOs have the coronavirus vaccine. Maybe they've got it. Maybe and you know the president is okay. Let's stick with the conspiracy theory for a second. Operation Warp Speed, right?
Yeah.
That's the name of this program to work on the to work on the vaccine. Warp Speed, coming from Star Trek.
Yep.
Coming from outer space. See what I'm saying?
Right. So
it's for sure that's what this is. Yeah.
So it means the theory is
aliens are bringing the cure.
Yeah. So the theory is that all of this UFO information was going to come out, so a pandemic was created to kind of hide all this information. I don't know.
Isn't that what they're saying? Isn't that like, I mean, I'm just trying to be like conspiracy minded, like act like everybody else on the internet, so that's why this was done.
Yeah,
to soften the blow of the announcement about the aliens.
Yeah, and I, you know, making light of it here. And do I think that aliens are showing up to spy on us, and they just happen to show up over LA and Vegas all these times? No, but a little disconcerting that the government is coming out and saying, yeah, there's stuff in the sky, sometimes above America, and we just don't know what it is. Pretty crazy.
Well, maybe
stuff.
That's what we need to bring everybody together, right? You know, all those movies where the aliens come attack. It's kind of like gets everybody together, gets everybody on the same side. Maybe that's the fix. Maybe the aliens are a good thing. Maybe we should bring them on. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, you look at the top story on Drudge right now, and, you know, it's just, I guess it's just a reality of the news cycle out there. It's not about specifics here on the CARES Act, too. It's not even a story about Representative Lewis lying in state. It is a story about, with a headline here, Walmart bans Nazi face masks. Dalton, Walmart has banned Nazi face masks, I guess as a policy. I guess a policy for Walmart. This is not to sell. They weren't selling them, but you know, the story about the couple with the Nazi face flag coverings in Walmart up in Minnesota, they were told not to return themselves. They've been banned from Walmart. What do you got to do in this to get banned from Walmart?
I didn't realize that Nazi face masks were until this point allowed at Walmart, but I guess it makes sense. Now, how do they identify the Nazi face masks? Is it just if
they
you
have
swastikas
on them? I guess.
Yeah, okay, I guess, because I don't know if you remember, USA Today ran an article about 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and said that the Trump campaign was using Nazi imagery campaigning, and that Nazi imagery was a bald eagle that they were using in the campaign logo, and because the Nazis too apparently used an eagle, that
so have many cultures. So the Lakota Sioux, who are referent of the eagle, they're also Nazis.
Going by USA Today's logic and a few other media organizations, I say they would be. But I'm looking at this picture of the people that wore the Nazi masks in Minnesota, and
well, they're fools. Okay,
yeah, I mean looking
I'm
for
not
a fight.
I'm not defending them. They're fools. They're going in, but Walmart comes out and says, first of all, they told the couple that they're banned from Walmart, which, once again, that's a whole other thing that somebody had. You, because I tell y'all right now, y'all don't know anybody that's been banned from Walmart.
No.
You may know people that have been banned from this, that, or the other, but I'm willing to $3 in my wallet, betting you $3 y'all don't know anybody personally that's been banned from Walmart.
No, I don't. And if you did, where I'm from, Clark County, if you got banned from Walmart, then
you could starve, actually.
You could. The list of places where you can go shop in so many of these counties in Alabama, Walmart is it. So if you get banned from Walmart, you would have really had to do something incredibly stupid or offensive.
So, but this goes back, you know, this kind of, when I saw that story, I said, wait a second, remember our story back here with the woman doing Heil Hitler? Remember the Heil Hitler at the city council meeting? So, and it says in the story here from Fox5NewYork.com, the woman seen wearing the mask argued she wasn't a Nazi and indicated she was wearing the flag as a protest against socialism in America.
Well, okay.
But she needs to be fascism, right? For the, although socialist Democrat, which can be fascist if we want to get into
it. Yeah, Sean, she's not a Nazi. She just happened to have two swastika things to fashion into face masks just in time to get out. Maybe she had these specially ordered or something.
Well,
you
go online, I bet you can find them. Listen, she has. She's making her political. I mean, it's First Amendment right. Same way that Walmart has the right to ban them for life from Walmart. In a statement, Walmart spokesperson said the incident was upsetting. What happened today at our store in Marshall, Minnesota is unacceptable. We strive to provide a safe and comfortable shopping environment for all our customers and will not tolerate any form of discrimination or harassment in any aspect of our business. We are asking everyone to wear face coverings when they enter our stores for their safety and the safety of others. And it's unfortunate some individuals have taken this pandemic as an opportunity to create a distressing situation for customers and associates in our store. I would point out, if you go to the, and I don't know where the latest iteration of it, the People of Walmart website is, you know what I'm talking about with all the pictures of people? Like, I've seen this some of the best pictures are online, although I've seen people in their house coats in Walmart before. Right? I mean, barely, they must have just put some shoes on and come to the Walmart straight out of getting up from bed. But Walmart has Walmart's part of this. This mask thing is you know, you've got the mask out there, you got mask mandates, and then you have people exercising their First Amendment rights to get these masks that all, you know, say a whole bunch of different things, right? Mm-hmm. They're not swastikas, but they're, you know, my governor's an idiot and things like that out there. So when is that going to be next on this list? Do I want to cheer these fools that wore the swastika mask? No, but is, you know, at what point, if, okay, you say, Sean, for sure, that swastika mask is not okay. Okay, so where do we then draw the line, or where do stores draw the line? Okay, you got to have a mask on, and that mask says this store sucks or something like that.
Right.
Can they kick those people out?
Right. If you're shopping at a Walmart in New York City, which I assume they have Walmarts in New York City, not 100% sure on that, but if you wear a mask that says, I don't know, de Blasio sucks or something like that, guaranteed, right, de Blasio tries to have you kicked out of that Walmart.
No, I don't doubt know about it. I mean, De Blasio doesn't want to have Walmarts. So
that's, you know, right. What about, you know, a Che Guevara mask? Somebody wears.
Well, that's what I was thinking. When would somebody go test this with a Che Guevara mask on? And is that, would that be okay? Would, because, you know, there's, to a lot of people, and people, students of history, realize he was a ruthless dude, a bad dude. Not just, we're not just talking about communism. We're talking about what he did in Cuba. Are people going to say, you know what, if you go wear a Che Guevara mask at a Walmart in Hialeah, Florida, with a big Cuban population, are you going to be kicked out of there?
I don't know. But this is so difficult, I imagine, for Walmart and for some of these other big organizations that, I mean, I don't know how many stores, how many Walmarts there are in America. I imagine it's just tens of thousands, but they must have an entire team, or at least one person whose sole job is to look at social media, and anytime something comes up from one of their Walmart stores that causes a stir like this, and you could probably go back over the last 3 weeks and find dozens of, can you believe they wore this into Walmart stores, stories. I wonder if they have like a team that is just waiting on stuff like this and just constantly banning one thing after another. Because if someone's going to wear something stupid, they're going to wear it in a Walmart. That's guaranteed.
Right,
And then Walmart has to answer for that every time.
Well, so in this case, we now know that you can't wear, I guess, the swastika face mask in Walmart, which is probably not a bad thing. And these people have now gotten themselves banned from Walmart. I wonder if we could Google that during the news break and see how many people are, you know, how many situations where somebody's gotten themselves banned from the entirety of Walmart out there. I don't know. So maybe a short, it may be a big list. I'm not sure. Hey, by the way, too, what are you hearing on the sports front? You know, we got the story about the Marlins testing, several of them, coaches and players testing positive for coronavirus, didn't they? And they just played a game
last night
up in Philly. Yeah.
Yeah. So yesterday, going into their third game of the season against the Phillies, and they were playing in Philadelphia, the news came out early yesterday that I think four of the Marlins players had tested positive, and they went ahead and played the game as scheduled yesterday. They did say they were going to wait to fly back to Miami, and they've got their home opener was originally scheduled for later today, and they were actually going to wait and fly back today. They ended up canceling today's game for the Marlins and today's game for the Phillies because this morning the news came out that not only were those four Marlins players positive, but seven additional players and two coaches. So I think 11 total players now and three coaches for the Marlins have tested positive, and they're waiting to get the Phillies results. But this is exactly what people were wondering. Would it be possible for a sports league, whether it's professional or collegiate, to continue their seasons? Especially, I mean, the MLB, they're trying to cram 60 games in just over 60 days. Anytime you have a bump in the schedule like this where teams have to take some time off, they're going to have to find a way to make that up on the end, or maybe have uneven schedules. It's not a problem that the NBA and the NHL are going to have, because with the limited number of teams and they created these separate bubble environments. For the NBA, it's down in Orlando, and for the NHL, Toronto and Edmonton in Canada, and they've got all these players under pretty strict quarantine where once they get into this quote-unquote bubble, they're being tested constantly and not allowed to leave the bubble, or they face some consequences. So it'll be easier for those sports, NBA, NHL, MLS, to kind of maintain what they've got going on. But baseball, who thought they'd get through this whole season, now 3 days into the new season, facing questions of whether they should continue. We're going to see the same exact thing with college football, because you're not going to be able to bubble all these teams. They're going to be traveling at least to the other teams in their conference. And then with the NFL, even though they're much more, they're much fewer players in the NFL than there are in college football, they're kind of doing what the MLB is doing right now. They're planning on traveling to cities and playing these games. This is certainly a problem that I think a lot of people expected to come up in this baseball season, but maybe not 4 days in to the brand new season.
All right. I know that that'll be a discussion coming up in just about 15 minutes on the Feinbaum Show and also probably this evening on Sports Night.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight on Sports Night. I was looking forward to, you know, having a jolly episode talking about the Braves wins over the Mets mm-hmm. and awesome to see live sports on TV again, but this throws another wrench into all those plans. So we're going to talk about that and also keep our optimism high and talk a little SEC tonight, as hopefully there is some form of college football played this year.
All right, coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. Text line, phone line open for you at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 151 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Text line's open for you. Phone line as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also online and on our Facebook page, our online opinion poll question. I'm going to paraphrase here. Would you get a vaccine if it was available? It looks like you know, the process, they're in the last phase of testing here. If you could, if you got the vaccine, was presented to you, would you take the coronavirus vaccine? And then if it's yes for you, what about for your children as well? You can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com, also on our Facebook page, although you'd probably have to wade through the interest really in the ABC story to get to anything else on the Facebook page. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show at noon, as the Alabama Beverage Control Board voted this morning to restrict alcohol sales at the state's bars and restaurants. Story from our news partners at WKRG. It said the board held an emergency meeting during which they voted to order bars and restaurants to stop selling alcohol at 11 p.m., all alcohol must be consumed by 11:30 p.m. So I guess you get that last round at 11, and then chug a lug, and has to be gone by 11:30. It said bars and restaurants will be able to stay open after that time, but the patrons will not be able to drink. I'm sure they mean alcohol at that point. So here you go. So the comment today from the ABC board chairperson, Colonel Alan Spencer, said the primary mission of the Alabama ABC board is to protect the health, safety, and welfare of our citizens, and we take this mission very seriously. We are very sensitive to the economic impact this rule will have. This is a gut-wrenching decision that we are making today, but it's also a gut, it's also gut-wrenching to see the number of Alabamians who are suffering from this disease. On balance, I'm compelled to vote in favor of the rule. This will be a very short duration and will relieve this restriction as soon as possible. So I don't know what the short duration is. Is that weeks, months, hours? I'm not sure. So the emergency rule is in effect immediately. So it's already in effect, but they won't enforce it until Saturday. That's the first day of August. That's beginning at 11 p.m. on Saturday. All ABC licensees are required to cease the service and or sale of alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption between the hours of 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., with on-premise consumption to end at 11:30. Now, Dalton, you notice the fact that that's on-premise. You can still take it to go.
Mm-hmm,
you can still go with it. You still do the curbside thing.
Right. which I have not I have not imbibed curbside yet.
Yeah, not.
At least here. I've done the drive-through daiquiri service over in Louisiana that we like to bring up around here. But I've
but
not,
you know, that's not an open container because it's got, like the lady told me one time, she said, oh, darling, it's got a lid on it.
Yeah, a lid with a bunch of holes in it.
I got you. So nobody can get in that till they get back home.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, I guess. Okay, no, I don't really understand exactly what they're trying to do. It's almost like, you know, mom telling you to clean up your room and you just grab a couple things and stuff it in a dresser drawer and call it a day. It's like somebody said, hey, we need a new rule. We need a new rule. And what's up with all these people drinking after midnight? What if we start to shut it down at 11 o'clock? And, of course, we can't just shut it down at 11 o'clock because somebody might have just gotten their beer. So what if we actually shut it down at 11:30, but the last time you can order? I mean, these rules, I understand the point, I guess, but just think of what we're – no one's going to enforce this. If law
It's going to be very hard to do, and it's back to, like you said, it's these questions of just that seem arbitrary, like bars versus nightclubs. Remember when we went through all that during the you know, those questions when it was first rolled out, and the difference was a dance floor,
right.
Y'all? That was the difference between, in Alabama code, nightclubs couldn't be open, but bars could, and the difference was the dance was their dancing. And I guess a dancing, you would get close. They're saying here that the alcohol will, you know, have people have less inhibition, and therefore I guess they will get but that's assuming that nobody would drink and lose their inhibition at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean it is arbitrary that you say, well, it's at later in the evening. I mean, are they trying to just say they've done something, and do they think this makes a big difference in the transmission of COVID-19?
I don't know. We all get our days started at different times, and since I became, I guess, a grown-up, I can't remember the last time I saw the inside of a bar or restaurant past 11 o'clock. And that's what I love about the comments. You know, people are raging about this, but I would venture to say that 90, 95% of the people that are commenting and angry don't stay out at any bar or anywhere past 11 p.m. It's more of a rule of law thing that people are upset about. And for those that don't like the government kind of overstepping their bounds, it's been a wild few months here because I think most of us can agree that masks will at least, at the very least, you know, keep people from sneezing or coughing all over you. But to make masks mandatory to...
But you can take your mask off if you're eating or drinking at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to... And I have a lot of people that are in the bar and restaurant business that are friends of mine, so, but I'm going to not dance around this. If they were serious... If they thought that messing with this was going to affect the change, then they would shut down like they did before the bars and restaurants, which I don't want to have happen. But this kind of okay, well, bars and restaurants are open, but if we stop letting them serve alcohol at 11, we're going to make a difference. Sure, you could probably make some argument in, you know, if one person avoids getting COVID-19, then it was a big success. It seems, without further clarity from ABC, pretty darn arbitrary.
Yeah, and that's all dealing in hypotheticals. At least point to one specific situation that happened in this state, even a surrounding state, where you can say without a doubt that if you'd shut the bar down at 11 o'clock and the last drinks were by 11:30, you would have saved somebody from catching coronavirus. It's kind of like what we're seeing with Walmart and some of these other stores. They feel compelled to say something so that they're not looked down on by the rest of America. And with states, they just keep making new laws because I guess they think that's what's required of them.
There we go. All right. We'll pick this discussion up, I'm sure, tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings. On the way, it is the Paul Feinbaum Show. And tonight, Sports Night, 6 o'clock with Dalton and Corey.